morning. Is anybody excited about Jesus this morning? Come on, is anybody really excited about Jesus? Can we stand to our feet? This morning, we're just going to speak the name of Jesus over every fear, over every mind, over every anxiety. Can we do that this morning?
Shadows burn like a fire.
May we abide in you, God. May we exchange our hearts for yours. May we exchange our wills for yours. Father, this morning, open the eyes of our hearts. God, we want to see you. We desire to see you. We want to see you. We desire to see you. We want to see you. We desire to see you. We want to see you. We desire to see you, God, whatever it takes, whatever is necessary for us to reach you, for us to access you, Father, we are willing. God, this morning we are able. Is anybody in the house this morning just available to God? Anybody willing to open the eyes of your heart to allow him to invade your space, to allow him to come into that situation? Can we just lift our hands and give our great God the great praise that he deserves? For we just want to speak the name of Jesus over every situation, over every heartbreak, over every stronghold. We believe that God is able to do exceedingly. He's able to do abundantly above all that any of us could ever ask, think, or imagine. If you believe that, can you make a sound to our God this morning? Can we lift up a sound of praise to our God this morning? Not because of what he's done, not because of what he's going to do, but because of who he already is, because of the things he's already done, because of the things he's already going to do, just because we serve a great God. God, you are worthy, Jesus.
Your name is power. Your name is healing.
Yeah.
Your name. to burn.
Yes, Lord. Father, open our eyes this morning. Open the eyes of our hearts. Let us see you. We want to see you, God. Yes, Lord. Can you all clap with us this morning? Here we go. Come on. There we go. Yep.
Oh, God.
Song says,
open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Oh, we sing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Hey,
open the eyes of my heart.
'Cause I want to see you.
I want to see you.
Oh, God, I want to see you.
I want to see you.
Let's sing it again. Sing, open the eyes.
I want to see you.
Here we go. To see you,
I'm glad I'm not the only one. But you know what? In my reading this week and in my feeling sorry for myself, I'll just tell you the truth. I read something that God really spoke to me, and I wanted to share it this morning. I was praying. I was feeling sorry for myself, and I thought to myself, God, your yoke is supposed to be easy and light. I want to read this to you. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Isn't that what we want? For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Well, you know what? You don't get a light burden if you don't have the yoke upon you. I grew up in the country. My dad was a farmer, and my granddad was a farmer before him. And every year when we planted the garden, my granddad insisted that we use the mule because he liked him. And it was the way he used to do the garden. And all the family was there, and we all had to participate. So my dad was the strongest, but my granddad thought he could drive that mule. So my dad would help him get him yoked up. My granddad had the stirrups, and my dad was there to do the heavy weight if it was needed. You know what I mean? That's one thing I can say about my dad. He let his dad be dad until the very end. That's a good thing. Let your dad be dad. Let your mom be mom. But in the process of this, I didn't learn something. Jesus' yoke is not in those straps. It's not in that whip. It's not that farmer holding those reins. Jesus' yoke is around his neck, resting on his shoulders. And if you take his yoke upon you, you're not taking it off of Jesus. You are bridling up with Jesus. He has still got the yoke. You're just the extra. Do you know what I mean? You're the extra. Because when Granddaddy had two mules, he had the strong one and had the old one. Had the new one that didn't know what it was doing. It would get wayward. It would run across the fields. But he had the older one that was experienced. He had been through a lot. And he would put those two together. So you got the strength. You got the knowledge. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. So when those two would go forward, if and when that young mule learned to follow the experienced mule, it was a lot lighter. Do you hear what I'm saying? You're not taking Jesus' yoke upon you. He has the yoke. You're just sliding over there being the extra. Because when it gets heavy, he's taking it. And when you need to know where to go, come on, young folks. Come on. You let him lead. He's the one that's directing you. That farmer is just a reminder to that experienced mule. He knows when he gets to the end, he's going to turn one way or the other. And if he was like my granddaddy, he always turned the same way. Always. So, if you let Jesus have the yoke, you share that yoke with him, and you learn from him. You let him guide you in everything you do. You need to buy a washing machine? Ask the Lord to give you wisdom that you don't have because you don't know. When you need to walk through the difficulties of family, the difficulties of health, you let Jesus carry that heavy burden and you tell him about it. You let him be the heavyweight in that situation. Do you know what I'm saying? I learned it wrong. I was a country girl. I should have had this stuff long ago. But I just did my little jig right there in the morning on my living room sofa. Said, thank you, Lord, that I don't have to carry your yoke all alone. You got it. You got it, because you know what? I'm going to get weary. I'm going to get tired, and I'm going to stumble. But I know he's got it. He's got it. Let me ask you today, what does it mean to take that yoke upon you? It's giving up yourself, your own ideas. You're allowing God to direct you. You're allowing him to lead you down that path. Today as we pray, let's ask the Lord, because this is what I did all alone. God, help me have enough sense to take your yoke, not from you, but with you, and learn from you as you guide me, as you help me know the right steps, the right direction to take. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you because with your yoke, it is easy. And if we're feeling more stress, more overwhelmment than we need to feel, Lord, we're not doing it right. Your word says your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. So, Father, help us to give this to you. Help us realize it's not in ourselves. We don't have the strength, the knowledge, the experience. But, Father, with you and your decisions, we can do this. Lord, let us take your yoke with you. Help us to experience when we do have big burdens that it's light with you. Because, Father, we're giving you those needs. We're speaking those things to you that is causing us concern and worry and fear. So, Father, thank you that your burden is easy and light. Thank you, Jesus. Good morning, Carpenter Shop Church. Now that you've had your farming lesson for today, you can be seated. You know, when God speaks something into your spirit, you just want to share it, don't you? I do, and I know you do too. Thank you so much. It's so good to see our home folks today. And if you're a guest with us, we say good morning, and please stop by the Welcome Center that is in our foyer right in the middle. We have a gift for you, and we'd like to just connect with you if possible just for a few minutes after the service. We welcome you today. We just thank you that the men came home encouraged and strengthened. They were giving each other high fives this morning in the hallway and talking about the good time they had Friday night and Saturday. It's always good to go away and be ministered to and come back and share all that takes place with the others. We love that connection with our men. At this time, we're going to honor God with our tithes and offerings. You can bring your offerings up to the front. And we're going to have some special music also. Thank you, Kaija.
Amen. And so many times where we need God more than anything, in any aspect, we need God more than anything. We want him to fill us all the way to the top until we overflow into others. Lord, I'm standing here now because we need you. We need you more and more, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Than ever. Stand with us one more time, would you? Yesterday I need you more. Hallelujah. Much more than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you more. I need you more. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you more. I need you more. Come on, lift your hands and love him this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, we confess today, God, our tremendous need of you. Our tremendous need of you, Lord, every day of our lives. More of you, less of us. Father, would you help us today? Help us to learn to entertain your presence. Release your presence. Be led by your presence. In Jesus' strong name. And everybody said a hearty amen. Come on. Bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord. Why don't you high five a couple of people before you're seated today? Smile at them real big. Come on. Come on, give it up for our worship team today. How many of you enjoyed worship in the presence of God today? Thank you, Rico. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I need you more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, praise God. So glad you're here today. Somebody say happy birthday to Rico. He experienced 43 this week. Come on. 43 years old. If you got cash in your pocket, just hit him after the service, okay? 43 dollars a person would be nice, wouldn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God is good. Hallelujah. So glad to be here with you in worship today. So glad to have an online audience. Amen. Bless you guys. Thank you for watching. Just go down to the bottom of your screen and hit share, and you will exponentially just increase this congregation just like that. Amen. Thank God for technology. We've made some technological changes, amen. So if you're watching online today, you see something a little different than before, and we've improved our sound. Thank God for Thank God for Rico. Amen. He's leading us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I cannot say this. Wow, it'll be such an idiot for me not to say this. Guys behind the scenes, like the Jack Terrys and the PJ Barnes and the Kenny Carrolls. I'm telling you, man, under this platform, they spent hours under here, clipping wires, running wires, and some, you know, three or four nights a week just working in the last couple of weeks. Jack, man, you're just an amazing guy. We appreciate you. Amen. Praise the Lord. PJ, praise the Lord. And Kenny Carroll, just a tremendous blessing to make us more effective. Hallelujah. Come on, just sit in his presence for a moment. God's here. Just sit in his presence and talk to him for a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire. And I long, Lord, to worship you. Thank you, Jesus. God, I want to preach a message to you today that I've simply entitled Releasing the Presence of God. I hope you're following what the Lord is saying. It's systematic. Amen. It's not just a pick and choose, what am I going to preach this week? It's a download. Okay. You trust me. Okay. And I appreciate that. But I'm trying to bring you what the Father is saying to me. Okay? I believe we're positioned as a ministry to really experience the manifest presence of God. I've been preaching this to you. Amen. I believe we're positioned to receive from God like we've never received from God before. I feel sorry for churches that have not picked up the mantle of expectation during COVID. I really do. I shared a statistic with you just a few weeks ago of the thousands of churches that have closed across the terra firma of the United States. Thousands. Closing doors that cannot make it. And yet, I hear the Lord say, ramp up, okay? Ramp up, ramp up. Do more, do better, serve with excellence. And God's doing incredible things to help us get there. And your prayers are so important. You should spend time every day. God, pray for my pastor. I pray for the church. I pray for the leaders. I pray God's blessing upon the house, because God's positioned us here in northeastern North Carolina, not the hottest spot in the state. Okay, this is not the most desirable place to be, in case you didn't know that. I know some of you thought Ahoskie was the capital, but it's not, okay? It's not, okay? I was in the capital yesterday, amen? And it's different. But God has us here. Somebody say, he has me here. And he wants you to change here, okay? He wants you to change here. I'm amazed at God's plan for his children is that he deeply desires to use us all in the realm of the Spirit. I want you to listen to me today. God's going to deposit something to your spirit that'll help you. I know that because I've spent all week in this message. All week, every day. Just asking God, give me, you know, I want more, Lord. Give me what you want us to say today. And I've spent time in the Word, and I believe God's going to speak to us. Put simply, God wants his anointing. Somebody say anointing. His touch, his presence, resting on you. Okay? You're really blessed because you are called by God as a human to steward his presence. You are. Your body is like a portable temple. Paul said, know you not that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. You are not your own. Some of us need to learn that. We're not our own. We are God's. We are bought with the price, okay? You know, we were struggling this past week. Wonder how the cross is. People have asked me, heard you're getting that wall up. What's going to happen to the cross? There were people worried about the cross. It was Doug White who said, Pastor, you don't know how many times your hand goes right there when you're preaching and you point right back there. So the cross is up. Amen? All right? Okay? The cross is up. Okay? God wants to anoint you. If you're listening online today, listen. God wants to anoint you, okay? And I know what some of you are thinking. You're disqualifying yourself. Well, man, I just got so much mess going on in my life. Guess what? So do I, okay? You're going to always have stuff in your life. You're always going to have something that the Holy Spirit is laying his finger on that he wants to take from you. He wants to adjust it. He wants to tweak it. Somebody say, he's tweaking me. I didn't say twerking. I said tweaking, okay? Some of y'all millennials, be careful now. I didn't say God was twerking you. I said he's tweaking you. Amen. Some of those above 50 don't even know what twerking is. We're just going to keep on going, okay? We're just going to keep on going. All right. No illustrations. Come on. But God wants to manifest his presence in your life. 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says this. Now we have this light shining in our hearts. We have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars. If you're in the King James, I believe it says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Okay? Remember that? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're like fragile clay jars containing this treasure. What I just say a moment ago, containing what treasure? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. This treasure inside of you is God himself. You ask me how I know he lives, the hymn writer said, he lives within my heart. You have this treasure in earthen vessels. You have this light shining in your hearts. You're a fragile clay jar that contains the treasure of God. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, Paul says, and not from ourselves. I want this thought to arrest you today. I want this thought to get into your DNA today, that you have a purpose from Almighty God. Stop complaining and giving God excuses why you can't be a candidate to be used. Okay? You all have stuff in your life that God's not pleased with. That's why he continues to bring conviction to you. And you release things to him and you give it to him and you get up. You don't stop. You get up. Well, I made this mistake and I don't feel like I'm worthy. You're not worthy and you're never going to be. But you give what you have. All right? It's the manifest presence of God that we've been speaking about that comes upon us, flows through us to release the presence of God to other people. You say, well, the people in the Bible were so all that. No, they weren't. Okay? Moses was a murderer. Okay? Moses was a murderer. Look at what the men of the Bible did. They made a lot of mistakes. Listen, even go back to the Old Testament. King Saul is a good example. He didn't come to the table with a godly heritage. Okay? He didn't have a very good track record to start with. A man lost his whole herd of donkeys. 1 Samuel chapter 9, we're introduced to him. He lost his whole herd of donkeys, didn't know where they were. Man, shepherds were in the Bible. Who were the shepherds of the Bible? Moses, David, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. All these guys were tremendous leaders. Leaders. What do leaders do? Leaders lead. And Saul, yet Saul comes up here and he can't even keep up with his donkeys. It's like a man today who's farming 1,000 acres and loses his tractors. He can't even keep up with his donkeys. And so he gets a servant. Servant says, hey, we got to find these donkeys. Servant's role was to try to help the guy. Okay, so what are they going to do? The servant says, well, we need to go talk to the seer. S-E-E-R, seer, one who sees in the situation that really shouldn't be able to see in. He's a prophet. And so the servant and him start on the way. They finally reach up with a man named who? Come on, Christians. Samuel. Okay, Samuel's a prophet. You know, why did they go to him? Because 1 Samuel chapter 9, this is a passage that was preached when I was ordained many, many years ago. There is now in this city a man of God, and everything that he says comes to pass. There wasn't a word that was coming off the lips of Samuel that ever fell to the ground. He hit it spot on. He hit it spot on right in the bullseye. And so, hey, Samuel could help you find your donkeys. Well, you know, Samuel turns around, and you know what he does to Saul, this guy who's not a good leader, this guy who has a problem and don't even approach it spiritually? He anoints him as king. What? Samuel anointed Saul as king. And guess what? The presence of God came upon Saul. So stop telling me the reasons why you can't be used. Some of you have lost your donkeys, okay? Some of you are leading your life like you can't find your donkey, okay? So God can use anyone. Say anyone. God can use anyone. And so, and we know that God's power and presence came upon Saul to be used by God, because very quickly he defeated a 300-year foe by the name of the people called the Ammonites. He destroyed them in the power of the Spirit. Are you following me? So God's presence wants to come upon you. God's presence wants to come upon you in power and in might. And God just uses typical human beings, just typical framework of the dirt, flawed and all. He uses us, and God chooses to anoint us and use us to do what? To release his presence. You and I need the anointing. What is the anointing? The anointing is the presence of the Holy Spirit resting upon you. It's simply that. It's an Old Testament Hebrew concept that literally means to smear. Some of y'all smeared on yourself this morning. Maybelline, okay? So you smeared stuff on you. Why'd you do it? Because you wanted your presence to be better than what we know it to be, okay? Smeared, to be smeared. That's what the anointing was, to be smeared. Have you ever gotten like something on your hands, like oil on your hands, and then everything you touched got oil on it, got a residue on it? That happened to me just a few days ago. I was here in the sanctuary, and I was helping to the best of my ability, trying to serve this week. We all just kind of hanging out here, doing what we could. So I painted the cross. It used to be white. Now it's gray. It's a light gray. And I wasn't intending on getting paint on anything except the cross. But how many of you know, every time you paint, you get some paint on something other than what you wanted it to be on? So I looked down at my jeans, and I got paint on my jeans. I looked at my shoes, my good shoes. I got it off before you saw them. She was in Raleigh this week. I got it off. I scrubbed the tips of my shoes, and I got it off. I looked on a pew, and I got it on a pew. I got it off, okay? But everywhere I looked, guess what? I left a residue of paint behind me. And what I'm submitting to you is when you get the, oh, come on now. When you get the power of the Holy Ghost upon you, everywhere you go, you will leave the Holy Ghost. Come on. If you've been touched, if you've been anointed by God, whatever you touch is going to be anointed by God. Y'all need to get this. Why? Because I got smeared in paint. And so everything I touched got smeared. Sometimes my wife will say to me, who cooked in here? I'd say, I just fixed a couple of... She said, well, could you please clean your stuff up? I thought I did. But guess what? I smeared the cabinet with whatever. I thought I cleaned it up. So everything, if you've been touched by the Holy Spirit, everything that you touch will receive what? The Holy Spirit. So that's why it helps us to understand that we need to be in the presence of God so that when we are in the presence of others, they will know that we've been in the presence of God. Amen? Question, how does he release his presence? I mean, Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, he said, freely you have received, now what? Freely give. Heal the sick. Look at this, man. This is powerful. Freely you receive, now freely give. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and cast out demons. Come on. Freely you have received my what? My dunamis, my power, my presence, my anointing. Freely you receive that, now freely give. This is not a passage for pastors. This is not a passage for reverence. This is a passage for believers. Signs and wonders shall follow those who have credentials, right? No, those who what? Believe. So you and I are to be about the work of the ministry. You and I are to be about the work of Jesus, healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the leper, and casting out devils. You spend time with God so you receive something from God. You're here today in the house of worship in the spirit of revival. You're receiving something today. You are being changed. Moses goes up to Sinai. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. He goes up on the mountain. 2 million plus people are watching Moses from the distance. And when Moses comes down, what can the people see about Moses? The Bible says his whole countenance changed. His face shone with the glory of God, the manifest presence of God, because he had been with God. Come on. Moses goes up and he receives the presence of God on his life. And when you receive the presence of God, you'll know it. So how do you give? How do you release the presence of God? I'm going to give you a few ways this morning. The first way is by the Word of God. The Word of God releases the presence of God. Luke chapter 24, verse 32. They ask each other, who? Jesus' disciples. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked about what? The news? No. While he talked about world events? No. While he talked about the scriptures. He opened the scriptures up to us. This was on the road to Emmaus. Jesus is walking with his disciples, and they don't even recognize him. They soon reached the village where they were going, and Jesus appeared just to keep on walking, keep on going down the road. And they said, hey, no, don't go any farther. Spend the night with us here. So they sat down together. The Bible says Jesus breaks bread, and they recognized him. And then he disappears from their sight. But look at their words. Were not our hearts burning as he unfolded what? The scriptures. Listen, the Word of God, you're talking about open the eyes of my heart. The Word of God opens your heart. The Word of God opens your eyes. The Word of God opens people's hearts. And so when you talk to friends who are looking to you for, some, hey, can I get some advice? You don't just give them advice, but you say, well, the Bible says, or there's a story in the scripture that says, you give them God's word because God's word opens their heart. God's word releases his presence. The Bible does that. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active, King James says what? Quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God will get down to it. The word of God will cut you. It will release the attitudes of the human heart. The word of God brings the presence of God. Peter said it this way, 1 Peter 1:23, New Living Translation. For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. What brought you the presence of God was the word of God. The word of God cut to your heart. The word of God spoke to your spirit. That's why you came unto repentance and changed the way you were going. So you get in the word, and that's what you recall when you're speaking to other people. I told, sent the order yesterday out to the team, and I reminded Pastor Joy last night, hey, don't forget you're on the platform tomorrow. She said, okay. And she looked, she said, yeah, I see that. So now she has a task. I have to say something when I get on the platform. I have to lead God's people. So what did she do? Remember what she said to you? Well, I was sitting on the sofa this week, and, okay. What are you going to share with us? The word. His yoke is easy. His burden's light. You can't give what you don't have. If you don't spend time with God, you have nothing to say. Okay? So you need the word. Why? Because the word of God releases the presence of God. Secondly, an act of faith releases the presence of God. Thank God for water. An act of faith releases the presence of God. An act of faith is this. Any action on the, here we go, on the inside that brings a reaction from me on the outside. That's an act of faith. Joshua led the children of Israel in an act of faith. It was an act of faith. Now the gates of Jericho, Joshua 6, 1 to 5. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in, no one came out. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. God's given him a what? Directive. Do this for 6 days. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns. You know what that is? That's a shofar. Come on up here and join me, Brian. That's a shofar. We pick these up when we go to Israel, okay? November 6th, next trip, get on board. So he says to him, he said, listen, you take the trumpets of the ram's horn in front of the Ark of the Covenant, and on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priest blowing the shofars. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, look at what he says here, have the whole army give a loud shout, okay? If you don't like shouting, you're not going to like heaven, okay? He says, have them give a loud shout, and look at what it says here. Then, somebody say then. Then the wall of the city will do what? Collapse. Blow the shofar, long blast. Help us here, Brian. Long blast. This is what it sounded like. You got it, man. Said after the long blast, shout. And then what happened? Then the walls will come down. Come on, give it up for Brian today. Man, that thing's not easy to play. Okay? It's not. There are people that play the trumpet that can't play that thing. That came off an animal. Okay? He says, then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up. And everyone will go where? Straight in, okay? Man, that was incredible. That was anointed right there.
Okay. That's going on YouTube in a clip, okay? I'm telling you, get ready, all right? That's a TikTok video if I've ever seen one. You know, you would think it would sound like, well, you know, the walls will fall down and then people will shout. Look at what God, No. You shout before the walls come down. That's why some of you are not getting your breakthrough, because you're waiting for God to do something before you shout, okay? You need to shout when God deposits something into your spirit. You need to shout for what he's going to do, okay? For what he's going to do. Never lose your shout. It was an act of faith that was released in the presence of God. And the shout comes before the walls fall down. The shout is, the natural is to shout when the walls fall down. The supernatural is to shout before the walls fall down. To shout before was what? An act of faith. You release the Spirit of God by the Word of God, secondly by an act of faith. Another example of an act of faith is John chapter 9. As Jesus goes along, he sees a man who's blind from birth. Verse 6 and 7, the Bible says he spits on the ground, makes some mud, got mud on his face, a big disgrace. Come on, guys. Y'all are so worldly. Seeing God's presence all over this place, saying, we will rock you. Y'all are good, man, I'm telling you. Y'all are good. That's not in the notes, okay? So he says, listen, make some mud with saliva, put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. The word Siloam, he bothers to tell us here, means what? Sent. So the man went and washed, and the Bible says he what? He came home seeing, all right? A simple what? Act of faith. Jesus spits in the dirt, makes some mud, covers the man's face with mud, his eyes, and says, now go wash. Jesus is presenting an act of faith. You sometimes God will call upon you to take a simple step of faith, an act of faith. And when you do, that's when you will really see the presence of God show up and show off. The Bible has a lot of examples of this. Remember when Peter and John were fresh out of the upper room? They came to a man. This is an interesting one, by the way. They came to a man who had laid daily at the gate called Beautiful. I've been there many times. Alms for the poor. They shake cans today. They still shake cans. You can hear the coins in the bottom just jingling. Alms for the poor. Alms for the poor. This man laid there all of his life. Peter proclaims to him an act of faith. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Guess what kind of results he got? Nothing. Read the story. He didn't get results like that. But then Peter does an act of faith. What does the Bible say he does? He reaches out. That's right. He reaches out and he takes the man by the hand and gets him up. Stand up. The act of faith did not move the man. So Peter steps in and says, no, I heard from the Lord. So I said, rise up and walk. So he pulls him up. Then, somebody say then. Then the man is seen in the town doing what? Walking and leaping and praising God. Okay? So listen, sometimes it may be an act of faith on your part as you minister to someone, as you say something to someone, but it may also require an act of faith on their part as well. Okay? I hope you won't forget that principle. I hope you won't forget that story. You'll read it next time the right way. Okay? It didn't happen just like that, so Peter reaches out. So there's faith activated on whose part? Both of them, okay? What Peter was wanting was him just to receive the command, rise up and walk, and a man just jump up, but it didn't happen that way. But it ultimately was an act of faith. Sometimes the man of God may say something to you, even here at this altar. It may happen today. You may say, well, I'm here because of my arm. And then one of these ministers may say to you, well, let me, I'm going to pray for you. Now I want you to do what? Now do something you could not do before. And so you raise your hand up and you go, wow. And you say, why are you saying wow? Because I couldn't even get it up 2 inches. Now I'm raising it up. What was that? An act of faith. A good minister of the gospel will challenge you to do something you couldn't do before. Okay? Not just pray and send you back to your seat. Pray and then release a what? An act of faith. Test it. I've heard preachers say this. Now you go to the doctor. I've heard Pastor Mike say this. You go back to your doctor and you tell him to x-ray it again. Okay? Because we want to prove that God did in fact touch you. Okay? We're not just going to say, oh yeah, he's healed. We believe you're healed, but you go check it out. Okay? Then thirdly, there's a prophetic act. Think about this now. This is a little bit different. A prophetic act that releases the presence of God. The Word of God releases His presence. An act of faith releases His presence. Thirdly, a prophetic act releases His presence. A prophetic act is different. It's different from an act of faith because, here we go, listen to me closely. A prophetic act has no connection to the desired outcome. It's quite easy if you say, hey, I'm here for my arm, you know, okay, I want you to, in the name of Jesus, I want you to raise up your arm. That's connected to the issue. But a prophetic act has nothing to do with the issue. Here's a case in point. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. What we have here is Elijah is leading what was called the school of the prophets. See, we're critical when we look on the internet and say, school of the prophets? What are you talking about, school of the prophets in California? Or what are they doing? School of the prophets, not a new thing. They had them in the Bible. Elisha was there. He's leading the school of the prophets. He's raising up men to learn how to discern the Spirit of God, teaching them to hear the Spirit of God. What is God saying? And so they ran into a situation where the school of the prophets is too small. We need a bigger building. We need a bigger place to meet. So what did they start doing? They started gathering wood. And so here's what the Bible says in 2 Kings 6, 1 to 7. The company of the prophets said to Elisha, look, the place where we meet with you is too small. Let us go to the Jordan River where each of us can get a pole and let us build a place there for us to meet. And he said, go. Then one of them said, won't you please come with your servants? I will, Elisha replied. And he went with them. And they went to the Jordan, and they began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, he rears back with his axe, and what happens? The head of it falls off and poof, falls into the Jordan River. Oh, no, my Lord, he cried out. It was borrowed. You say, well, man, what's the big deal? Get this axe. Go to a hardware store and get another one. No. Wait a minute. You're talking about like losing your neighbor's steel chainsaw. In this particular culture, in this day, if you had an axe, that was a major tool. It's not, some of you got two or three of them. No. This is like losing your neighbor's steel chainsaw that costs $600. And he's desperate here. He says, oh, no, it was borrowed. And the man of God asked him, where did it fall in? And he says, he showed him the place, and he says, there it was right there. Elijah, the Bible says, cut a stick. And he said, where'd you say it was? He said, right there. He cuts a stick, and he tosses it into the water. A prophetic act. What was Elisha doing? Elisha heard the Spirit of God say, throw a stick in the water. He threw the stick in the water, and what happens? The axe head floats to the top. Now, can I tell you something? You can go down to Winton, sit on the banks of the Chowan River, throw sticks in the water all day long, and axe head is not coming up. All you're doing is throwing sticks. But this is different. Why? Because the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God in Hebrew, spoke to Elisha and said, throw a stick in the water. The manifest presence of God said to Elisha, follow my voice. He said, toss a stick in the water. And the Bible says the axe head came up floating. Listen, we declare prophetic acts all the time. You say, really? Yes. At the end of the service today, I'm going to make a couple of statements. Some of you are going to get up and you're going to walk toward this altar. You know what that is? A prophetic act. You say, hey, I'm going to come by because he said, if you have this, come this morning. And when you take your first step, that's a prophetic act that you believe you are going to be a recipient. Okay? We make prophetic acts of declaration all the time. You're declaring a prophetic act. Why? Because the presence of God is stronger up here than it is on the back row? No. But the prophetic act is the unction of your spirit. God says to you, you need to get down there. Okay? That's a prophetic act. You're going down there saying, I'm going to get my healing. I'm going to see my children serve the Lord. I'm never going to snort that stuff again. That's what you're saying. I'm going to be set free. It's a prophetic act. And it releases the presence and the power of God to move when you move. So what releases the presence of God? The word of God, an act of faith, a prophetic act. Fourthly, the touch releases the presence of God. Sometimes when you touch a person, it takes faith to a whole new level in their spirit. Oral Roberts was a well-known healing evangelist of our time. One of the forerunners of the charismatic movement, if you study church history. He was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he was teaching and believing. And he often would talk about it. Sometimes I go back and look at old Oral Roberts clips. Massive crusades, thousands healed. I've been listening to a lot of these because you know what? You get what you preach, okay? So I'm listening to A.A. Allen, and I'm listening to Oral Roberts, and I'm listening to John G. Lake, and I'm listening to things of the past because what God has done in the past, God will do again and even better. And so I'm watching Oral Roberts, and Oral Roberts says, listen, I want to make a point of contact with you. He was one of the key people who talked about this point of contact. Something good is going to happen to you this very day. How many of y'all watched Oral Roberts? Come on. He proclaims something good is going to happen. A very positive statement, but he always made a point of contact. Often he said that when you touch the person at the very place where the healing was needed, healing was released. The presence of God was manifested to heal. Where did he get this from? The Bible. Okay. Well, golly. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 8, verses 1 to 3. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowd followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and what? And touched the man. Okay? I'm willing, he said, be clean. Immediately, he was cleansed from his leprosy. Jesus didn't have to touch him, but he did. Jesus can heal you from anywhere. But he touched him. And when he touched the man, faith was activated and the man was healed immediately. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? 12 years she struggled. She'd seen many physicians. For years she'd struggled, and the position and the posture and the place that she finds herself in spiritually was this. If I could only touch, come on up here again, Brian, I need your help again. She said, if I could only touch the hem of his garment. What kind of garment was Jesus wearing? He was wearing this. This is a tallit. The Bible specifically tells how to fashion this garment. If I can touch the hem on my pants is down here. The hem on this garment is this little tassel right here. She said, if I can just make contact with that little thread right there, I know I'd be made whole. She wanted so desperately to be healed. 12 years, she's bleeding. She has female issues going on. Some of you ladies have struggled in that department. You know how miserable it can be, especially when your husband don't understand. 12 years, she could not stop. But she said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be made whole. Jesus said what? Who touched my clothes? He turns around. because he felt healing virtue go from his body. So we can surmise this. When hands are laid on people, there is a divine transfer. When a contact is made, there's a divine transfer. Thank you, Brian. The Bible says this. I read a lot in the pastoral epistles because I'm a pastor. My favorite books of the Bible, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. When I used paper Bible, they were the greasiest pages of my entire Bible. Got my hand all over it. You know, I use an electronic Bible most of the time. But when I did use paper, they were the greasiest places because I love to read passages about the life of a pastor because I am one. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:6, fan into flame, Timothy, the gift of God, hear me now, which is in you through what? Through the laying on of my hands. So there's a divine transfer. There's something supernatural that happens when Paul laid his hands on Timothy. He said, listen, fan into flame the gift of God that I've given you by the laying on of my hands. When we anoint people with oil, and we will today, and some will be healed, and when the point of contact is made, faith is released, and the presence of God shows up to heal. Mark 6:56 says of Jesus, check this out. And wherever he went, into the villages, the towns, the countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him, let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And the Bible says, and all who touched it were healed. Okay? The touch. Some who are critical would say, well, that's Jesus. I'll make a statement here that's going to shock some of you. Listen to me. Well, that was Jesus. Can I just tell you something? This is a theological statement that some of you will chew on for a while before you get it. Jesus laid aside the prerogatives of his deity. He spent time with the Father, and Jesus was anointed by the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now think about that for a while. Yeah, but he was Jesus. Now, don't just put super Jesus on him all the time because he was Jesus. Jesus laid aside. Listen, on the cross, he could have told 10,000 angels, but he didn't. Why? Because he put aside the prerogatives of deity and became a human being just like we are. Okay? So Jesus lays aside the prerogatives of his deity. And he says this to people when they ask him, oh, I only do what I see my Father doing. Okay? I'm only doing what I see my Father doing. Can I just tell you something? What are you doing, Pastor? What are we doing at the end of the service? I'm only doing what I saw Jesus do, okay? I'm going to lay hands on you. The sick are going to be healed. We're going to believe you for breakthrough. You're going to get it. We're going to believe for divine deliverance. God's going to deliver you and set you free. Why? Because greater works than these you will do because I go to my Father, what Jesus said. Come on. Man, I wish I had a voice. It'd be dangerous when I get a voice back. He laid aside the prerogatives of deity. And Jesus says this, John 14:12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me, not just preachers, whoever believes in me. That's everybody in the church. That's everybody in the body of Christ. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to my Father. He goes to the Father, ascends to the Father, pours out the Holy Ghost. It's poured out upon all flesh, and we receive the dynamics, the dunamis of the Holy Spirit. Man, would to God that the church would catch this. Would to God that the church would understand. We are all ministers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some are called into full-time service to that, but every one of us are called into the ministry of propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ, laying hands on the sick, casting out devils, and seeing people healed. Amen? That's what we're called to do. James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Is any one of you sick? I'm asking you today. Anybody here sick? Come on, are you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and do what? Make a point of what? Oral Roberts, contact. Anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. But you see, the devil puts your sin in front of you and keeps your blessed assurance on the seat. And you won't get up. Well, I hate to go up there because I, you know what I did last week. Well, go ahead and sit there. Go ahead and forfeit what God wants to do in your life. And you'll sit there and worry about your little sins. When if you would just come, you know what God would do? Not only would he heal you, he will forgive you. He will always forgive you. God will never, ever turn away from you when you come to him with a heart of repentance and gratitude. Because God, here I am again, standing in the need of prayer. Come on, somebody. Standing in the need of prayer. My fifth and final point, worship releases the presence of God. What releases the presence of God? The Word of God, an act of faith, come on, a prophetic act, a touch. I'm doing this intentionally. Look, I've been in this sermon all week. I know it from back to forward, front to back. But I want you to get it. And then fifth, worship releases the presence of God. If you don't like this, go to a dead church. Okay? They'll let you out at 12. Okay? No. We may get out at 11:45. That's nice. Well, we may be here till 1 o'clock. Depends on what the Holy Spirit is doing. Okay? We finished up last week. I got in the car and got relieved. I thought, what? It's 11:30. It's 11:30. We were only there an hour and a half. But I can confidently say we did everything that the Holy Spirit wanted us to do. Worship releases the presence of God. Probably the greatest example in the Bible of worship releasing the presence of God is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The verses are 21 and 22. This is a great passage on the power of worship. Rico, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you. New leader, new challenges. New leader, new standards. New leader, new policies. New leader, new rules. Doesn't mean what was done before was wrong. This is just different. Okay? Just different. I interviewed 15 people in 2022. 15 interviews, Zoom calls, telephone calls at length. Talk about worship. Talk to me. Ended up at a conference that I invited this gentleman to, him and his lovely wife. He comes in the door with a little short keyboard, and he sits down in front of me for a week. And I'm sitting there, the whole time I'm sitting there that week, and I'm thinking, I can't believe this. Lord, I've interviewed worship guys for a solid year. And I go to Kerala for a conference. And I'm sitting here and you're telling me that he's my next worship guy. What he does is important. We've tried to teach this team that what every person does, I just gave accolades to backline people a moment ago. We are a team. This is not about Wallace the Hero show. Okay, it's not. There are two very vital aspects to a worship setting: the music and the preaching of the word. And outside of those two things, there are many tributaries of supportive staff that work to make what we do work. Okay? Work effectively. Work with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I've said it before. David killing Goliath was not a miracle. Wait, Pat. What? David killing Goliath was not a miracle. It was a result of preparation. He killed a lion. He killed a bear. So God was anointing David's preparation. As soon as this service closes today, you know what we're going to do? Start on next Sunday. Tonight, we'll be starting on next Sunday. First of all, what is God saying? Where are we going next? And then the whole team will be brought into that aspect, and we will synchronize together our findings, our gifts, our abilities, and present to you just like we presented to you today, releasing the presence of God. This group of people surrounded by an overwhelming alliance of armies, the children of Israel. Overwhelming alliance of armies. Jehoshaphat's a good king. He was a godly king. He's seen a lot of miracles, but at this point, he's very, very, very afraid. He prays and says, Lord, I don't know what to do. The Lord sends a prophet to him. The prophet tells him to go out praising the Lord. He says, hey, call your worship team and put them in front of the soldiers, in front of all those guys with AK-47s. Okay? Put the worship team in front of them. And then do this. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. Michael W. Smith was smart enough to look in the page and see a song there. But that's the song they sang, not in that tune. It was in Hebrew, and it probably didn't have even a similar tune. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever, the Bible says, is what he's saying. The Bible says as they begin to sing and they begin to praise, the Lord goes before the praise and sets an ambush up, and the armies, the alliance of armies, was defeated. Worship releases the presence of God. It was easy for me today to preach the gospel. Why? Because the worship team did such an effective job to prepare not only me, but to prepare you to receive what God is saying today. Okay? Makes my job so much easier. So much easier. I'm so thankful for this worship team. They're preparing again right now to release the presence of God in this altar. As God has spoken to us today, that he wants us all, somebody say all, he wants us all to be anointed. If you're going to teach school, you need to be anointed. If you're going to work at Nucor Steel, you better be anointed. If you're going to run your company, you better be anointed by God to do the work that God has assigned to your hands. If you're going to lead a church, you better be anointed by the Holy Ghost. Leadership skills that God has endowed you with, and the touch of God upon your life to take the ministry to a whole new level, you better be anointed. How do you get the anointing, Pastor? Well, it comes through the word. It comes through an act of faith. It comes through a prophetic act. It comes through the touch, and it comes through an experience of worship. I want you this morning, if you're here. Matter of fact, the ministers, would you come, please? God's moving even throughout the week. Even throughout the week, God is moving. Pastor, I need this. Pastor, I need that. Pastor, I'm coming Sunday. I need God to do this. Because God is moving by His Spirit. Okay? Amen. If you need healing today, would you stand? Would you just stand right where you are if you need healing in your body? Where's Derek? Derek, come on, Derek. Derek reached out to me yesterday. Pastor, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I said, I'll tell you what you do. I'll tell you what you do. You go ahead, Derek. You know, because anything can happen. But you go ahead, Derek. And you go ahead and give your life to Jesus right where you are. Just tell Him what you feel in your heart, okay? But come to church tomorrow morning and let's seal this thing in the Spirit, okay? So there's your man right there, right in front of you. Derek gives his heart to Jesus today, okay? Amen? So if you're standing, you need to step out of your seat and come down here and let God's agents of healing lay hands on you today. Amen. Hallelujah. Let them lay hands on you.
Healed by the power of
I hear the Lord say, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing that the ears of all who hear it, says the Lord, shall tingle. The ears of all who hear it shall tingle with expectancy, excitement for what I will do, says the Lord. I'm pouring out my spirit in a new way, in a fresh way upon your people. I'm pouring out my presence that they might be shaken. I'm pouring out my presence that they might be healed. I'm pouring out my presence that they might be engaged in the work of my kingdom, declares the living God. I'm pouring out my spirit. All who shall receive it shall go forth, taking back the captives, declares the Lord. Taking back the captives, declares the Lord. Taking back the captives and marching forward, releasing my presence in this land, in this region, says the living God. Come on, give him praise today. Those that are watching online today, just a point of contact for you. If you're in the service right now, you're watching at home, maybe sitting there with your phone in your hand, would you just reach out your hand right where you are, touch your screen. Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong, we come before you today, God. We just proclaim a point of contact, the touch of God, the touch. I just believe this morning, God, that those that are touching their devices right now, touching the laptop, touching the iPad, touching the iPhone, whatever they're touching, God, would you release your power that flows from on high, God, in Jesus' name? Would you touch and heal them by your power in the strong name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Friend, if God touched you, put a comment in the section below. Put a comment in the section below. Healed by the power of his name. I want to just ask this morning, how many of you would say, listen, Pastor, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, God touched and healed me today. Would you just stand up? Come on, stand up right where you are. I know God touched and healed me. Look at that. Look at that. Praise the Lord. Come on, give shout to praise. Shout to the Lord in praise. Hallelujah. God is good. Salvation, healing. Anybody set free from something today? You feel like God just ripped something out of you today? Anyone at all? A deliverance today. Anybody? Come on. Somebody got delivered from something. Anybody? Andrew, did I see your hand there? You believe God set you free from something? Could you share a testimony? Would you be comfortable doing that? Just give a word to the Lord. Come on, get this microphone here. Come on, just share a testimony and thanks to the Lord for something. You don't have to be specific. We don't want to know your business. But just give it. Listen, the Bible says they were overcome. Somebody say overcome. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So come on, take this microphone and just give praise to the Lord for just a moment.
I don't know how many of you here know me, but I have struggled for years with something that I won't be specific about. And I'm still struggling today, not like I was. I have been set free of that. Amen. But there are things that are given to you and that are supposed to help with what you got rid of in the past. And now it's time for those things that are supposed to help eventually become a problem, and now it's time to be delivered from those. And that is what I came to the altar for today. So thank God for that. Praise God.
Somebody say set free. Amen. Hallelujah. Set free. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Anybody got a testimony where you feel like God divinely touched your body today and God's healed you today? Anyone? Anyone? Praise the Lord. Julian wants to sing a song this morning. Amen. Julian, you got a song in your heart, man? You want to sing?
That one.
You got to sit right there if you want to sing.
Oh, okay.
Sit right there.
War. Sing it. Okay.
Some other time?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all right. You want to come on stage. Amen. Amen. All right. He wanted to step up on the stage. You know what that is? How many of y'all know what that is? He wanted to step into what? In the anointing. Okay? He wanted to put his feet in. Come on. Rich, stretch your hand out to Julian right there, would you? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that there may be limitations for him. But God, you're the God who frees people from limitations. And I speak to Julian today, to his presence, to his spirit. And Father, I pray that you would begin, Lord. I believe you're beginning it already. Just to align his mind with your purposes. In the name of Jesus, mighty and strong. Raise up your hands, Julian. Raise up your hands. Raise up your hands and worship the Lord today. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. There you go. Father, we bless you today. Touch Julian, I pray. In Jesus' name, touch him today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, give God praise today. Julian feels God's presence. Amen. Hallelujah.
Withholding nothing,
withholding nothing,
withholding
Father, bless you today for your manifested presence, your power to heal, to deliver, to save, to encourage. We give you thanks for it in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Amen. If you'd be seated for just a moment, I have a special gift for you today. We'll take about 5 to 7 minutes, maybe. A couple of years ago, during the midst of COVID, a dear friend of mine that I had known, I just thought I knew him, but I didn't know everything about him. I began to follow him on Facebook, and he simply referred to himself as the pastor on the porch. Pastor on the porch, because every morning he would go out in the backyard of his house and he would sit on the porch, on the deck. Sometimes he was out in the yard with a pile of wood. Sometimes in the pretty time of the year, birds are flying around the bird feeders, and he's just sitting there, and every day he would come on and just exhort, just encourage. I just knew him as Steve Lehman, a missionary, Chi Alpha. But I began to get to know him more because I saw inside of him, I could see his heart. And so he's here today. He's a represented missionary of the Assemblies of God with Chi Alpha. That's no strange word to you. College campuses. Him and his wife, Belkis, have committed their lives to touching young college students at such critical times in their lives. And so I said, hey, you're in Hosky today. Come to Carpenter Shop that particular weekend. And I said, but you got to do something. You got to bring that guitar and you got to take us to the porch, okay? So would you just open your heart and receive the gift of God in the person of Steve Lehman? Would you give him a welcome today? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lewis, would you assist me here and hold this microphone for him? We won't get a stand up here.
Hey, good morning. Some people say, why do you and your wife do university missions? It's real simple. What we just experienced for the last couple hours, the presence and person of God, I just think that everybody needs that. You know, something that is a story that's not being told a lot right now, but there are students jumping out of buildings on campuses. The suicide rate is off the charts. Thank you so much. Off the charts because of COVID and hopelessness. And just hopelessness. And Chi Alpha, what Chi Alpha does is we just say, listen, we're going to bring the presence of God into the university camp. I mean, I'm not young. I don't look good in skinny jeans anymore. Nobody wants to see me in skinny jeans anymore, you know. It's not us and our stuff that we bring to the table. It's the presence of God that we bring to the table that makes a difference. And Pastor's right, and the word's right. Man, if we don't have anything from the Lord in us, we ain't got much that we can give anyway. So if you wonder what University Missions does, it's that. And we can talk more about that in the end after the service here. But I had to get my iPad up here this morning, Pastor, because I was going to sing something else. And the Lord woke me up this morning and said, no, do that. And I don't know it real well. So you can play with me if you guys want. I'm in D. This song was written in a very troubling time in the mid-1800s in this country. Kind of like we're in right now, that balloons are floating over us, taking pictures of us. Good. What in the world? Yeah. And maybe your life is not the put-together thing you thought it was going to be. And maybe your mess sometimes is getting out of control. One of the reasons I like singing hymns and that I've begun to really enjoy hymns is because the people who wrote them, they had their own mess. But they learned to put their hand in God's hand. And that's what this hymn's about. And if you know it, you feel free to sing it. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, whate'er I be, still God's hand that leadeth me. Sing it with me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's flowers bloom, by waters calm or troubled sea, still God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by God's own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. This past year, we were with my wife's mother as she died of Alzheimer's. I know she was glad that she had a Lord's hand to clasp. Yep. And when you go through that and you see God's presence literally show up in the room to take a saint home, it's powerful, man. It's a bit frightening, but it's powerful. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by God's own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Okay. Okay. there on that picture. No. My wife, Belkis, my Cuban wife, Belkis, who's the national director for diversity for Chi Alpha, we've been doing this now for over 30 years. And what we do here in the state, it's a local investment in one region, the Piedmont region, but it's got national influence. See, when Chi Alpha Campus Ministries was started, it was pretty much for just majority campuses. And then as recently as about 8 years ago, there was historically black colleges and universities that we just weren't on. And the Lord was speaking to us, my wife and I, and there were some things I did in the Midwest, but when the Lord said, come here and do it, he said, go and plant a ministry on a historically black campus. And my wife said, how are you going to do that? You're white and you're old. And I'm like, hey, you know, here's the deal. Right now, there's no ministry on the campus. Let me just say this, because sometimes people hear that and they're like, oh, there's other things there. We found out 2 years later, after we finally, through pushing through, got permission to be on that campus, a member of the faculty came up to us and said, thank you for coming to this campus. We have no other Christian organization on this campus. You say, but these people were raised in church. Exactly. These people know better. Exactly. Some of those professors, they're singing in the choir, yeah, but they're not bringing it to the university. Is that for everybody? No, but it's some. And there was a school, Winston-Salem State University, nobody cared about. Nobody wanted to go to. I got a witness over there. And so the Lord helped us. I said to my wife, hey, listen, after 10 years, there's 10 students and me in a classroom, it's more than it's there now. Well, the Lord's helped us. We'll go to the next slide here. And we've got a full-blown ministry there led by an African-American man and his African-American team predominantly. They're also at Wake Forest University. Wake heard what was going on over there and said, we want it here too. And then Salem College, the second oldest women's college in the nation, where it's a great place to go and leave the Lord. Now we've got a ministry there as well. And we got a team that's doing things there. So my wife and I are compelled because there's the need for workers. Listen, somebody said to me, well, wouldn't it have been better to send an African-American there? Yeah, there wasn't anybody to send. We didn't know them. We had to find them. We had to raise them up. We had to release them. And so that's what we do. We're looking for the whole body of Christ to fulfill the mission of Christ. And we appreciate missionaries, but the truth is that the average missionary in the world, all over the world, less than 5% of them are people of color. Why is that? Well, there's lots of reasons, but some of it is they have not been mobilized, blessed, released, and supported to go do the job. And that's what we're doing now. We need to be credible. The church needs to be credible. We need to take the gospel in the power of the Spirit, looking like heaven, right? And folks, there are people that want to do the work. They just need to be trained and released and pastored. So that's what we do. Let's go to the next slide. And so that's the team that's there now. They let us stand in there for some reason. Radon is the guy in the upper left, guy from Gary, Indiana. And they're doing a great, great job. So what I do is recruiting, pastoring, and coaching. And I got to do that in two other places now, Greensboro and High Point, 12 campuses that need God. And then let's go to the next slide. I've been doing this as fast as I can. My wife, her whole thing is to equip leaders, mobilize minorities, and reach HBCUs. That couple there, they're at Texas and HBCU. So we have ministry now in a number of HBCUs in this country, but there's a number like North Carolina A&T, the largest HBCU in the country, and it's waiting. And we got to find workers and send them there. So anyway, we can talk more about that later, but we want to say thank you. The next slide, and I think that's my last slide. We need your prayers. We need your encouragement. We need your contacts. If you knew some people, like, I know somebody you need to talk to, could be a missionary, come talk to me. We need them. And we need your support, because we raise support, we raise our own salary, work funds, whatever, to do it for a 4-year stint. So it's time for us to do that again. And so thanks a lot for hearing me out. Thanks, Pastor.
Appreciate I love you, Steve Lehman. My friend, Steve Lehman. Pastor Mike gave me this opportunity this morning because I was trying to tell him with the level of excitement that I have. I just, when I see him on there, and I just tune in, you know. And a lot of times he says, hey, Pastor, good morning. But I love what you're doing, man. That's if you don't, this is named Steve Lehman. Put his name back up there. Hit him up on Facebook and join him. And you'll see him Mondays and Fridays, 9 o'clock in the morning. And he'll just sit there for a few minutes and play a song from his heart. And it's a great little devotional time for people who maybe you missed it that morning. But doing a great job. And we will bless them today with a missions offering as well. So let's just pray over him and just believe God. Lord, thank you for Steve. Thank you for his heart. Thank you for a man that, Lord, in his words, is white and old. But Lord, in your words, young and courageous. Young and courageous. To be a Caucasian hitting historically black colleges and universities in North Carolina and other states in this nation. I believe you, Lord, for a representative for A&T. Thank you for Wake Forest. Thank you for Winston-Salem State. Thank you for others, God, that are waiting yet for a spirit-filled missionary to be resident on that campus, to be available to preach the gospel, to love on students, and see lives change for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go by his table in the foyer. We're just going to bless him today with an honorarium from the church. So God bless you. Have a great day. And you guys be blessed today. God bless you.